ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The American League Championship Series resumes with Game 3 in Anaheim, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. After disappointing performances in the first two games, manager Mike Socha's Angels are down 2-0 to the Yankees.
Right now, this team we're playing is as strong as any team that's been in baseball for a number of years, but I don't feel it's any stronger than or any deeper than those teams that we played before. They're all terrific teams, and when we feel if we play at our level, we can beat them, and that's what we're going to keep focusing on.
Socha sending out Jared Weaver against Andy Pettit. Pettit can become the winningest pitcher in postseason history with a win. He's currently tied with John Smoltz with 15. Game 4 of the NLCS. Phillies host the Dodgers. 7:15 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Joe Blanton and Randy Wolf. Philadelphia's got a 2-1 lead in that series. Bobby Valentine is one of the finalists for the Indians' manager's job. NFL, the Redskins are slated to announce today who their new play caller will be. The team has taken away those duties from head coach Jim Zorn. Washington hasn't scored more than 17 points in any game this season. The 5-0 Broncos visit the 2-2 Chargers on Monday Night Football, 8:30 Eastern on ABC HD. San Diego's 2.5 games back of AFC West leading Denver.
Sports Center on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Hey, Ham, I can't believe you got a new recliner just for tailgating.
Oh, I did, Bergwood, with a built-in massager.
Can I sit in it?
No.
Come on, let me...
No.
Fine, I'll just wait till you have to go to the bathroom.
You were saying?
The more you save on insurance, the more you'll have football. Drivers who switch to Allstate saved an average of $396 a year. Are you in good hands?
Savings based on national customer reported data for new policies written in 2008. Actual savings vary. Insurance, subject terms, qualifications, and availability. Allstate Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
The brands you love cost less at Walmart, and people love Hanes.
So, I was grocery shopping when my underwear started going places it shouldn't, if you know what I mean. Okay, I'll just give a little wiggle to the left, maybe. Then I try the old just getting something out of my pocket. Just when I am going for it, I hear,
Amy, is that you?
Oh, hi.
Get Hanes No Ride Up underwear for the lowest prices of the season, like special bonus packs of ladies' panties for just $5. Save money, live better, Walmart.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
Long count. Here's the snap. They roll the pocket to the near side. Sheffield holds. Now being rushed. Hit and thrown down by Jared Crick. Jared Crick with a sack back at the 48. That's a loss of 10 yards for Jared Crick. It's his third sack of the year. Tech driving with the first possession of this game. Snap back to Sheffield. He holds. Throws it out. A flat pass caught. First down. 10. 5. Touchdown. Texas Tech. As Baron Batch takes a swing pass out in the flat. Goes 16 yards. And Texas Tech with two impressive third down conversions. Scoring the opening drive of the game to take a 6-0 lead from the 16. Zach turns, throws it out the flat. This is a lateral to Niles Paul. He drops it. That's a free football. Picked up by Texas Tech. That was a lateral. Going the other way is Daniel Howard. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. To the 20. Touchdown Tech. It was a lateral from Lee to Niles Paul. Niles, I think, thought it was a pass. He dropped it. Let it go. Tech picks it up. Races the other way. Sheffield quarterback keeper. He's driving. Touchdown. Sheffield a 1-yard keeper. And now it's 20-0 Texas Tech. Third and six. Green gets a snap. Has some time. Sets. Throws. Pass. Caught. Touchdown Nebraska. That's Kyree Cooper getting his first career touchdown reception. And Cody Green, his second touchdown pass as a Husker. Sheffield keeps it himself. Dips to the right side and in for the touchdown. And Texas Tech has put this one away. Tech now leads it 30-10 after the 1-yard keeper by Stephen Sheffield.
Well, that's what happened Saturday. Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The first kind of gut-wrenching loss that Nebraska has had, maybe a slightly unexpected loss that Nebraska's had under head coach Bill, under head coach Bo Pelini, and the Huskers fall 31-10 on Saturday. A lot of talk. The phone lines are open. I'm sure you've got things to say. The emails have been flying in already. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the number, 888-455-3776. We'll be joined by Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated in about 5 minutes. We'll talk with Sean a little bit about the Huskers. We'll get to some early emails. Mondays, it was a little bit better for Merck and Morris. UNK rolls in an offensive a shootout. It wasn't even as close as the score really would indicate, if 65-30 is close. And it was all defense between Hastings College and their football game on Saturday when they took on Nebraska Wesleyan for the second straight year, 7-3. 7-3 was
wild.
The score. But Hastings at least won it this year. That didn't happen. That didn't happen last year.
Well, Doug, I you know, I guess I can start by saying last week everything that I said came to fruition, and I was right on the quarterback situation. I can go on and on about that. I'll handle the talent analyzation from here on out. We saw who our quarterback was on Saturday, and he was the second one to be put in the game. Zach Lee. Zach Lee's done for the rest of this year, as far as I'm concerned. He has no confidence. He should have no confidence. He's not a competent quarterback. And the play calling, say what you want about it. You know, okay, you can look at his completion percentage. You can look at Sam Keller's completion percentage when Marlon Lucky would average 18 catches a game for 26 yards. Much the same. These little flat passes the defense is supposedly giving you, it's pathetic at best. Some great articles, one in the World Herald, Dirk Chatelain just absolutely all over Sean Watson. I could not have said it better. Cody Green will be. He's got to be your starting quarterback from here on out. Starting Saturday, yeah, he's going to make some mistakes. I do know this. With Zach Lee under center, do you know how many championships we're going to win at Nebraska? That answer, folks, is zero. Zero, zero, zero. There is no way Zach Lee would ever lead us to a title of any kind. With Cody Green, yeah, you're going to have some mistakes. You're going to have some interceptions, but you're going to win some championships down the road.
Let's go to the phone lines. Jerry from Kearney is waiting. Jerry, thanks for joining us. Start us off today.
Well, hey, quarterback certainly is a big issue. What about receivers here? I know if I never see another celebration for catching the ball at the 10-yard line, if I never see that again, it'll be too soon. That really burned me up.
And the amazing thing is, Jerry, thanks for the call. Sure appreciate it. 10 different guys caught at least one ball on Saturday.
I happen to look up the numbers. Brandon Kinney at his junior college caught 62 passes, 845 yards. We need to call the coach at Fort Smith or wherever he was. We got to call this coach. What did you throw him the ball 800 times? He has dropped two passes wide open. Why is he seeing the field? Niles Paul. You know, accountability is my big thing, of which we'll get to you in a minute, Doug. But
I'm ready.
What is Niles Paul doing? I know you can't live up to your first cousin, Amon Green. But good grief, you've been in this program long enough to separate yourself. To just drop a ball like that is inexcusable and absolutely embarrassing.
Bo Pelini, we'll hear from Bo. We're going to hear from Sean Watson in and out of the show today. Let's start with Bo Pelini. The first thing he was asked was about that fumble. That, again, I never have understood that play. If you're going to throw it 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage, throw it 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage. What's the difference? But he's asked about the fumble, and then he just kind of reiterates, as you'll hear throughout the day, how they just didn't do anything.
We stopped. Can't stop. You can't stop on the play. I give them credit for doing it. We didn't play good enough to win the football game. In any phase of the game, we got beat. And I give Texas Tech credit. We did not play good football. We didn't play well. We got outcoached. We got outplayed. Simple as that.
to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug, spell out the word and if you are, I don't even know. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's go to Joe and Kearney. Well, well, well. I think we found our answer, guys. I thought we should stay with Lee, and he totally changed my mind on Saturday. He cannot run that offense. I don't think Watson can either, but now is the time to put Green in there and get him ready. We can win the Big 12 North with Green, and it looks like that is all we can win with that offense. It was obvious Green could run the offense just as much as Lee could. Let's get him in so we can learn that offense. The future is now. Get Green in there. Joe in Kearney.
It's okay, Joe, to go back and say that I was right all last week. Did have.
I'm going to let you continue to dig the hole, all right? Because I don't know what you were right about. I don't know what you claim to be right about. I don't know what you're right about.
That maybe Zach Lee was Husker fan out there was cracked
the
up.
That Cody Green's the greatest thing we ever saw? Okay, let's continue on. Fast Willie chimes in, and this is right at me. I'll read it because I have that capability to do that. Doug, I hope you aren't going to come on the air and talk about how the verdict is still out on Lee. It isn't. That kid is not a Division I quarterback. Hell, Watson isn't a Division I offensive coordinator. As long as I'm on Watson, why don't we run another bubble screen? They always work well. Here's an idea, Watson. If you're going to run one of your explosive two-yard bubble screens, because that's what the defense is giving us, and why wouldn't they give us that play? Can you have the quarterback in the shotgun so that there's no chance of it being a backwards pass? Fast Willie goes on to say, back to Lee. In games against Virginia Tech, Missouri, and Texas Tech, how many quarters has Zach Lee led Nebraska to a touchdown? The answer is one. The fourth quarter against Missouri is the only quarter that Nebraska has scored an offensive touchdown with Lee in the game. Green is going to make mistakes, but he's also going to make plays. The one thing I can virtually guarantee is on fourth and goal, he won't throw the ball into section 39, which, yes, that's when I snapped in the press box on Saturday. I've said it in professional, whatever. You can't. What's the point? Fourth down, goal, you're at the 15 or the 12 or whatever it was, and you throw it into the scoreboard. It's not like you kind of missed your receiver. That shows a real high-quality football IQ, Zach, is what Fast Willie says. Fast Willie says, but I do want to be fair, Doug. I don't want to ruin Lee's confidence by putting Green in the game because Lee absolutely exudes confidence when he's on the field. I can't even find the words to talk about how much confidence Lee is playing with. Can you, Doug? Green starts from here on out. Backup LaTravis, and Lee fits somewhere between Ron Kellogg Jr. and Joe Brockmeyer on the quarterback depth chart. In memory of Zach Lee's career, signed Fast Willie. Thanks, Willie.
Great email. Excellent.
Let's go back to Ken, our Irish fan, who found ways to still say that it wasn't so bad even though Notre Dame lost. Bo's fatal flaw. How many times have we heard Bo say, quote, we got to fix that, end quote? I'm beginning to believe that Bo thinks all he has to do is coach him up and all will be well. I got news for you, Bo. You first have to have something to coach up. Until Nebraska recruits first-class athletes, expect the kind of results you saw Saturday when they play real football teams. Irish Ken. And that is one point I want to make here in the first segment and just to throw on something that you've said. I'm not even sure you've said anything in the first 8 minutes of the program today, is that Nebraska, if Nebraska fan gets what they want this Saturday against Iowa State, and it's a good place to have something like that, you will be playing a fourth-string quarterback and no running back outside of Roy Helu Jr. You are playing Zach Lee as your quarterback, Patrick Witt, who's not good enough to play at Yale, benched last week, Cody Spano blows his ACL out, and then Cody Green is your fourth-string true freshman quarterback. Then on the I-back situation, you've got Roy Helu Jr., solid. He's hurt. Quentin Castillo dismissed from the team. Rex Burkhead, true freshman, hurt. They don't even have a fourth-string running back. You can't even call it by committee because what they put in there wasn't anything. Marcus Mendoza ran it once. Austin Jones, once. So we didn't have a backup running back in the game. And part of the reasons that we didn't run the ball as much, you're down 24-3. You're trying to move the ball down the field. So you're playing with a four-string quarterback and a hurt running back with no backup right now. So just realize what you're trying to win with. You didn't lose to Baylor or A&M or K-State. Wow. Or a Sun Belt Conference team on Saturday. You lost to Kansas State, or you lost a Texas Tech team who should have been 5-1 now if they just kicked the field goal against Houston. They win that, and they lose by 10 to Texas, the number 2/3 team in the country. Texas Tech is not a slouch. We just haven't been able to find a way to beat them. I think the disappointing thing is we went down there and gave them all they wanted last year and should have won the football game, maybe. I mean, we had the chance. And then up here, it was just the total exact opposite. Two different football teams.
When you say we're down 24-3 and then 31-10, where was our sense of urgency? Where was the no-huddle offense? Were we ever trying to win this game, or were we trying to run the clock and end it?
Again, it was not 45-32 where people were going up and down the field putting points on the board. We had 10 points.
You wouldn't have went to a no-huddle offense.
I'm not saying that. What? See, now you're picking at stuff. You're picking at stuff. That is the least of the worries of the Nebraska football team. You want to sit here and talk about the two-minute offense, and you have no grasp of the football game that you did not watch on Saturday. I mean, you just have no grasp of it. What people want to do is break this down to Sean Watson not knowing what he's doing and Cody Green, the guy on the bench, being the next great thing. Now, if we put Cody Green in, so be it. That's the coach decision. Zach Lee did not play great, but I do want to give you the stat line, Tony, and say what you want. 16 of 22, no interceptions in that football game for Zach Lee. He didn't cost us the football game. And some people are going to go, oh, my God! Zach Lee didn't really make any mistakes in that football game. The one thing that frustrated me a little bit, besides throwing it into the scoreboard on fourth and goal, is he is soft. I'll say it here. Zach Lee is soft. He doesn't want to run. Third and three, 20 yards ahead of him, and he is just a puss. He doesn't want to take off and get the first down. Now, that's grab him in the face mask and smack him as hard as you can as a coach. That's old school 60s and 70s stuff. If you are a coach like a Bo Pelini and you have a kid like that that doesn't understand the game, you got to run. I mean, I'm not even sure that he doesn't understand the game. He just doesn't run the ball because he's soft. And I will say it right here, soft, because he won't run the football. Out of the pass, out of the pass. I mean, they've tried to run a couple options with him, and he's still, don't hit me.
Out of his 16 completions, Doug, how many were 5 yards or more down the field?
How many of those were play called like that? Now, I know that you know that every guy 20 yards down the field was wide open because I know you watched the whole game and every play that way.
He won't stand in the pocket long enough. He will not stand in the pocket.
He has problems. I'm not saying he doesn't. And I'm not sitting here saying who should start Saturday.
Take a stand now?
I've taken a stand all week.
Yeah, you wanted Zach Lee.
Yes, exactly.
Now you still want Zach Lee.
I didn't say that.
Now you've got to make a move.
Cody Green, 7 of 16, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. What was better about that?
Well, factor in the 2 drops that Cody Green had. Factor in the 2 drops he had. The first one for a...
You just threw the tight end under the bus that dropped the ball twice. Okay, Zach Lee is now 16 of 20. We need to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Callahan is going to join us when we come back. Your phone calls, your emails, fire them off. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our transmitter actually contains parts of the Chernobyl reactor. It hasn't affected us yet.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with CenterPoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At CenterPoint Wealth, we use 3 independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. CenterPoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Are you suffering with allergy symptoms? If so, you're not alone. Long-term, lasting relief is now possible without drugs or allergy shots. Allergic Air Relief Centers feature new, state-of-the-art laser and biofeedback technology to assess and alleviate chronic symptoms such as sneezing, headaches, skin irritation, digestive issues, and more. Call us today at 402-463-6797 or visit us online at allergicare.com. Ask us about our grand opening special.
Have you noticed a change in your hearing? If so, then see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. Our university-trained audiologists can customize hearing aid products to fit your needs, lifestyle, and budget. We continuously update our product line to offer our patients the latest advances in hearing aid technology. To learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide, visit us at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Tonight, it's an AFC West showdown when the undefeated Denver Broncos travel to San Diego to face the Chargers. Hi, everybody. This is Marv Albert of Westwood One. Join Warren Moon, Mark Malone, and me at Qualcomm Stadium for all the action. Can Josh McDaniels' Broncos remain unbeaten, or will Phillip Rivers and the Chargers beat red-hot Denver? Tune in to find out if it's Monday Night Football. It's right here.
Broncos Chargers tonight at 7:30 on ESPN Radio.
MLB playoffs, the World Series, college football, the NFL, storm hockey, and NASCAR is sitting in Tobacco Row. The best in sports during this special time of year is on your ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
He scores!
Here's a look at our Monday's forecast. Calling for partly to mostly sunny skies. We'll have east winds developing at around 5 to 15 miles an hour and a warm high temperature near 70 degrees. For tonight, cloud cover moves on in, low near 44 degrees. Currently 59.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. If you send me an email that's 50 pages long, I'm not going to read it, okay? Adam in Holdridge has done that. Let's just condense it. Can you help me figure out where their team is going wrong? This team is going wrong. I can't seem to wrap my head around it. Is it Lee? Zach can't seem to make any sort of decision. He doesn't step up in the pocket, but rather tends to float left and right. He holds the ball too long and seems to throw when he should run and run when he should throw. If there was ever a time to make a change, now is it, with Iowa State and Baylor coming up. But is it the right decision? Glad I'm not getting paid to make this one. Is it the receivers? This seems to be a bigger problem. Zach Lee can't complete passes to covered receivers. Then he goes on with a bunch of stats here. Where was the last time we threw down the field, or for that matter, threw a crossing route? We throw an abnormally high amount of short out routes. Where's Mike McNeil? The tight end has been a non-existent part of our offense. My guess is that D's are keying on him. I'm getting very sick of throwing every first down and the predictability of the game plan. Adam goes on to say, P.S., I'm sure H-Man will chime in today, which is why I tried to email early. I figured that if I were trying to send one off to you mid-show, I'd be interrupted by another seizure-inducing self-love fest that his emails have become. Let me save you the trouble, High Stepfords. I'm smart, you're not. Watson should be fired, as I said a month ago. Billy C., Steve Peterson, Zach Lee, Sean Watson. There, that should cover it. Don't worry about me. I've cleared the furniture out of my office, and I'm currently in the fetal position with my wallet in my mouth, just in case you do read his email anyways. Adam in Holdridge. Yeah, let's do that, Derek. That'll be fine. Let's go ahead and do that. We've got Mondays with Merck and Morris. We've got Sean Callahan coming up in just a couple of moments. But Coach Daryl Morris had been tied up a little earlier today, but at least you're feeling better, right?
Yeah, I am feeling better.
Good. Coach Daryl Morris joins us, as he does every Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, big, big win. Again, it's easy to say it wasn't much of a test, but your kids must be doing so many things right, both sides of the ball. I mean, you just don't play 11 on none and get up 49-10 at halftime. Talk about Saturday's performance.
Well, you know, I think we did play a total game on Saturday. We challenged our kids not to drop their level of play and not to drop their intensity level, and I think we accomplished those goals. I think we came out and played well, jumped on them obviously pretty fast, pretty hard, and played well both offensively and defensively.
Coach, your MVPs of the game were who?
Well, I think probably on the offensive side of the ball is going to have to be Jake Spitzelberger. When you go 14 for 14 for 280 and throw five touchdowns and run for three others. It's kind of hard not to give it to Jake. Rusty Dring played well. Kyle Kizer played well. Brendan Lees played well. The guys up front played well. And then I think on the offense, on the defensive side of the ball, Pat Ackerman had a good game at the safety spot, making quite a few tackles and keeping everybody lined up. But again, when you win that way, it's hard not to find somebody that didn't play well.
Probably a good win on homecoming.
Yeah, a good win on homecoming, and you know, a better crowd than expected, I thought, with fall break, which is part of our problem today, being a little off schedule. But fall break, and you know, the Huskers playing on TV, so. Pretty good day for us.
Darryl, obviously a good chance for your defense to see a high-flying offense. Talk about them, and they were missing some linebackers even.
Yeah, you know, I think the fact that they had come in scoring about 30 points a game and had the ability, they've got some players now, and they've got some athletes, and we were a little concerned about that and being able to keep them under control. Obviously, Dennis Havarella, we're very familiar with him and his ability to move around the pocket and do some things. So, you know, again, I just thought a nice day for our defense. Basically, they scored about 16 points on the starters, and the rest of it came on the backups, and good day all the way around defensively.
Bad news is a couple of big-time injuries. Riley Newcomer, Shane Carraher, both suffering knee injuries. Where are they at? Is it as bad as it sounds?
I think both of them are probably done for the year, and it's very unfortunate for especially Riley. Riley's had one of those hard luck careers here so far where he just got off a knee injury, you know, that was during Tua days, and just getting back in the swing of things and starting to carry the ball for us a little bit and to have that happen for him. Both of them really... Roddy was carrying the football when he got injured, but it really wasn't a big-time ugly hit or anything. And then Shane Carraher just suffered an injury with his knee just on a plant on a kickoff cover where he was trying to plant and go back inside. And very unfortunate for both of them, and you are correct, kind of an expensive loss with both of those guys offensively.
Well, you mentioned the injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Coach, talk about, are you going to get a couple linebackers back this week, or will it be another week or two?
I think Chris Sinkbottle is probably still out maybe for another week. You know, he's fighting some MRSA, and we're taking care of those things with the doctor's help. Eric Sheely with his toe, I think, is probably still a week away. He's still in a boot, probably will not be available or not looking for him to come back until against Mines.
Fort Lewis on the road this week, early scouting report.
Early scouting report on them is another team that, scares you a little bit because they got nothing to lose. I mean, what we're getting right now is a steady diet of things on the field that we've not seen people do on film, on the field that we haven't seen them do on film. So we're not really sure what to expect. They've shown several different things on film. It really comes down to trying to guess what they feel like they need to stop to beat us. Do they need to stop your passing game, or do they need to stop your running game? And they would approach those differently. And we're not really sure what they think they've got to do to beat you. So you got to kind of go into the end of the ball game with two contingencies. Hey, this is what we think they might do if they feel like they got to shut the run down. This is what we think they might do if they feel like they got to shut the pass down. Then you got to react to that. But a team that doesn't have a lot of success right now, so a wounded dog, and those are always dangerous.
There's some bad teams in the RMAC.
Yeah, you know, there's two different levels right now, I think, and we've got a couple of them still that are on the upper crust here coming up in a couple weeks. But Fort Lewis right now would be one of the schools that is struggling in the RMAC.
Well, have a safe trip, Coach. We appreciate the time, as always, on this Monday. We'll talk with you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's Darryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, as they pick up a big 65-30 win over Western New Mexico. It wasn't that close. 49-10, they had a kick return. It was just
35
over 600 yards.
Second quarter.
Yeah, over 600 yards of offense. Evidently, Tom Brady watching that game.
Went off.
It was crazy.
Guy went nuts.
Let's go back to the email. Sean Callahan, we expect to join us here in just a minute. Nick from Pleasanton says, Daddy, you're attractive. I am not good looking. You're successful. I'm an embarrassment. Do I need to go on? I've been sulking all day. I'm never going to doubt your wisdom.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
Eric and Kearney via Oxford says, no leadership or confidence. Hate to say it, but Daddy may be right on this one. What about the O-line play?
You know, that's been a huge disappointment as well. Well, and with the O-line play, just when you think you do something positive, Ricky Henry shows up and just does another brain dead move.
Yeah, and when things are going bad, that gets you more frustrated. And when it's the same couple of kids, but again, it's bad if you don't have anybody that's better. You know, Philip. Hey, how about Dillard? There's your positive. At least he's coming back doing some good things. Sean Callahan joins us. He's getting ready to hear what Bo Pelini has to say on the Big 12 press conference coming up at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes. Sean from HuskersIllustrated.com, thanks for giving us a couple minutes, bud.
Hey, no problem, guys.
Well, the fallout is there. I don't have time to read every chat board and every newspaper article and every radio interview. What has changed in the last 24, 48, 36 hours, whatever it's been, since Bo's last step to the mic?
Well, I guess, the long and short of it is the offense continues to search for an identity, and I guess you ask yourself the question still here Monday morning, what happened to Zach Lee? I mean, this guy, came out brimming with confidence, and he looked the part, he played the part for Nebraska early on. I think everybody just kind of assumed that there wasn't going to be this big of a drop-off between him and Joe Gans, and now, I mean, he totally looks like a guy that's confused, a guy that is indecisive in his decision-making. You know, he has that very strong arm, but we haven't seen him really put it to use, in the last game at least. And now you're left with a situation I think nobody wanted to see, and that's a decision that you have to make. I mean, do you want to start a true freshman and kind of gamble and see how this thing works, or do you want to stick with Zach Lee and ride it out? And you have to ask yourself the question, who gives Nebraska the best chance to win the Big 12 North? Starting a true freshman in Cody Green or sticking with Zach Lee this week and seeing how he responds? I mean, you have two games against Baylor and Iowa State games. Nebraska will be decisive favorites, I feel, to win, and they need to figure it out pretty quick for these 2 weeks what they want to do so that they can get things back on track here before the Oklahoma game.
Sean, I guess everybody wants to know about the running back situation. Nobody emerged from Saturday as that number two guy. Just your overall thoughts on the whole mess it is right now.
Well, with Roy Helu banged up with the shoulder injury, and then Quentin Castillo obviously gone, and Rex Burkhead out for probably the rest of the regular season, you're seeing just how average that position is right now. I mean, I thought they tried Austin Jones early, and, he clearly wasn't a guy that was going to get much done. And they've pulled the redshirt off Trey Robinson, and they played him on special teams. I get the impression they're going to play Trey Robinson a lot more here as the season goes on because he's more of a power runner. Marcus Mendoza strikes me more as a third down slash kind of spread running back, but he's not a guy that can go through the tackles. Without a healthy Roy Helu, without a quarterback that's making plays, this offense is not even average. It's a poor offense, and that's what we saw on Saturday.
And following up on that, Sean Callahan with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's follow up on that. Let's get as deep as I think you can get into this mess. Do you put Cody Green in an offense that can't succeed? Is that where we are at right now?
Yeah, because you ask yourself, I was asked this question on our live chat about an hour ago, and if you put Cody Green in and this doesn't go well, you really risk a lot. Not only this season, but maybe Cody Green's potential confidence as a quarterback. If he goes in there and does poor and throws interceptions and the offense continues to stall, then you really mess with Cody Green's future and his confidence. So it's a tough situation. And if you had to put a gun to my head and tell me what they'll do today, I wouldn't be surprised if they do give Cody Green a shot early in this Iowa State game and say, look, we're going to go with Cody Green early. Let's see how he responds. If he's not getting the job done, we'll give Zach Lee another chance and see how he responds. But it is a very tough situation, and that's why these coaches make the money they make to make this type of a decision.
There's no one other. I mean, if Cody Green doesn't work, there's no other direction you can go than back to Zach Lee.
I don't see how you go with a LaTravis Washington. He's a guy that hasn't even played the position for, more than a couple months in this offense, or a few months when you count spring ball. So I think it makes more sense to stick with Zach Lee. Cody Spano would have been nice to have right now, another guy that could give you something there. But it is a tough spot right now, and this is a game at home. Nebraska is an 18-point favorite, so they're a decisive favorite. They have way more talent across the board than Iowa State does. So they need to get on the field. They need to figure out what they want to do, and they need to develop some confidence behind that. They need to find two or three things as an offense they can hang their hat on. We do this well. We do that well. We need to do those things now for the rest of this season.
Sean, in your mind, the reason we have opted not to throw the ball down the field, is it because it, our receivers aren't open? They can't catch the ball when they are open? Just your thoughts.
Well, you know, it might have... Maybe they were calling downfield passing plays. I think it was more of a deal where Lee was scared to throw down the field, or just didn't see it, or for whatever reason didn't go to it. But I have a hard time believing they just didn't call any downfield passes the whole game. I think some of those calls were downfield plays, and you know, you look at Lee's stat line, he was, what, 16 to 22, but only averaged, 5.7 yards per completion. I mean, he had a real – so everything he threw was short, and you take away that – screenplay where Roy Helu kind of turned something into nothing there, and nothing Lee threw on Saturday was really longer than 10 to 15 yards. And, you know, he just didn't go down the field at all for whatever reason, and it's kind of mind-boggling because I thought his arm strength in getting the ball downfield was probably what he did as well as any quarterback has done at Nebraska.
Well, Husker Nation is in panic mode over this loss, Sean. I mean, what's the panic mode? What should the panic mode be on a scale of 1 to 10? Where are we at?
You know, there's definitely, I think you got to probably put it like at a 6 or a 7 right now. Thankfully, though, honestly, guys, the schedule is not as bad coming up here for Nebraska. They have these 2 weeks where they can settle things in. Oklahoma's defense is obviously going to be a whole other story on November and when they come into Lincoln in November. But, you know, games against Kansas State and Colorado and Kansas even down the road don't look all that intimidating right now for Nebraska. So, I mean, yeah, there's questions. Yeah, there's problems. But there's a lot of teams in this conference with questions and problems right now in the Big 12 North. Missouri got beat by Colorado. Kansas got beat by Colorado. Missouri just got waxed by Oklahoma State, and they're going to get waxed probably by Texas again this week. Blaine Gabbert, I talked to Gabe DeArmond this morning, and he doesn't think Blaine Gabbert should have been playing on Saturday, and he doesn't think he should play this upcoming week because of injuries. So you go across the board in this Big 12 North, every team this morning is debating questions and problems about their team right now. And if you add up everything, I still think Nebraska is going to have to mess up quite a bit not to be the front runner in this Big 12 North race.
Sean, maybe a mention about the offensive line and the lack of the push they can get up front. What does that do?
Well, I think the right side particularly just has been a disappointment. You know, DJ Jones, Marcel Jones, and then Ricky Henry at times with his mental errors. It's been a problem. I think Mike Smith, Jacob Hickman, and Keith Williams on the left side are fine, but they just aren't, you know, playing with consistency. And then you get mental errors like a 15-yard penalty that literally took away a touchdown. You know, Nebraska's facing a second and goal on the 4. And then they're instead faced with a second and goal from the 19. I mean, that's a pretty big penalty to get hit with right there in that situation when you're desperately needing some points. You know, at times, though, I thought Lee held on to the ball too long. I mean, there were a few times where the protection did break down, but there are times where Lee just stood in the pocket way too long and didn't get rid of the football. And you can't always pin that on the O-line, but there definitely are some concerns with what we've seen the last couple of weeks from this offensive line.
Well, being the big, tough guy that I am, I said the word, and I heard it a lot after the game on Saturday. And this is a no football player ever wants to be called soft. Zach Lee appears to be soft. Sean?
Well, you know, you heard stories about just his lack of mental ability in the offense before last year, and that was why Patrick Witt was ahead of him. And Watson said he's kind of moved past those, but I kind of think he's reverted back to the bad habits that he played with maybe when he first got here in 2007 and 2008. And, you know, you're seeing the things now that kept him behind Patrick Witt last year. You're seeing a quarterback that doesn't really have what it feels like to me a solid command of the offense, that he can make the reads downfield and the confidence it takes. And you just see a lot of indecision with him right now, and I think these last couple of weeks really have let people know how big of a drop-off it's been with Nate Swift and Todd Peterson and Joe Gans out of this offense. And, you know, maybe a Kyrie Cooper and some of these guys look prettier in a uniform than a Nate Swift and Todd Peterson did at wide receiver. But bottom line is those two guys were some pretty darn good wide receivers Nebraska lost last year. And
they're having a hell of a time replacing him right now.
Who would have ever thought we would be putting Nate Swift and Todd Peterson so high on a pedestal, which they deserve to be high on a pedestal. I'll let you out of here with this, Sean, a little grin to get you out of here. We go to the email here. Craig and Carney says, rumor has it that Ted Gilmore has asked Husker Vision for tapes of every shot the Wienerschlinger made into the crowd. The plan is to offer anyone who caught a hot dog a walk-on tryout at Whiteout.
Well, if it works.
Sean, we'll let you get to the conference call. We appreciate the time.
Okay, I'm sure Bo won't say anything, so that will be fun to listen to for 10 minutes.
fire it off.
All right, guys.
See you, buddy. Sean Callahan, HuskersIllustrated.com, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I think Sean's right on. You got to find an identity for this offense. It was basically the gist of what he said there, and they don't have one right now. I thought exactly, and he did it against those Sun Belt teams. Is it that different? Apparently it is. Texas Tech's not known for great defenses. You should be able to move the ball. I look back, and Rice had over 255 yards. North Dakota, they played early in the season. They had 215 yards, I believe. You know, it's not like they stopped those teams with 43 yards and two first downs. We should have been able to move that ball. We couldn't do it.
Dan in Roseland, before we go to break, Dan says, I'm sick of the Lee-Green dispute. There are a lot more issues with the offense other than quarterback. Line has no discipline, can't block, the lack of use of the tight ends. The list goes on and on. It's been said that Green does not know the playbook. He is not our savior. Not right now, anyway. Other issues need to be hashed out first. Dan in Roseland. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Send your emails off to the Dent Popper inbox, or you can give us a buzz at 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN. More Husker talk. Paul Merkowitz of Hastings College as well when we come back.
It's that same satisfaction you got from pulling the arm off a Cabbage Patch doll.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, good times. The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm Scott Van Pelt from ESPN. Pick a word that best describes your investments in the last year. Brutal, disastrous, sobering. How about profitable? And if there's one thing we're all more passionate about than our favorite team, it's our bottom line, which is why I want to tell you about Goldline. Since 1960, Goldline has been a company you can trust, with half a billion in annual sales and audited financials from the Big Four accounting firms. Buying gold allows you to diversify your portfolio, and the folks at Goldline will explain how it couldn't be easier to buy gold, which is shipped directly to you. Call Goldline at 800-240-9439 and ask them about the different payment options and read their important risk information about buying gold to see if it's right for you. That's 800-240-9439. Don't wait. Get this information right now. Tell them Scott Van Pelt sent you, and you're going to receive a free DVD with the free investor's kit. Call Goldline today. 800-240-9439.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. An independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Here's a look at our Monday's forecast. Calling for partly to mostly sunny skies. We'll have east winds developing at around 5 to 15 miles an hour and a warm high temperature near 70 degrees. For tonight, cloud cover moves on in, low near 44 degrees.
Currently 59.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, you're just a Husker fan, and the Cowboys had a bye week. Imagine if you're a Husker fan, an Eagles fan, and a Dodger fan, all in one person today. Could be worse. You could have lost to the Oakland Raiders, people. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines here. Delusional Husker fan is standing by. How delusional are you today, Delusional?
Well, pretty delusional. The sun did come up, however. kind of surprised to see that.
People did survive on Sunday.
They did. It was sorry to see. I wrote an email last week saying give Zach Lee a chance. At home, good weather, and, well, crap. That's what we got. I'm not so sure about throwing Cody Green in the mix yet. What happens if he goes to, you know, Iowa State, throws two picks for touchdowns, and God forbid we lose to Iowa State? What's that going to do to him for the future? But watching the game, you can't come away from that without saying there's something bigger wrong, because we didn't do but six plays in that whole first half, six different plays. Receivers weren't catching the ball. O-line didn't block for the darn. Quarterback played terrible. I mean, thank goodness for defense. They could have racked up about 69 points on it, I think.
Delusional, I'm guessing you're thinking that little handoff over the left side is one of your favorites, too.
Oh, my gosh. If they never run that again, that'd be the greatest day of my life. That one, and I got one more, when they do the fake, and then he rolls out, throws it to the tight end for a yard. That play has never gone for more than 2 yards.
That is the famous John Madden pass for none yards. It's always fun. Hey, Delusional, thanks for the call.
Sure.
You know what? When we lose, when any team loses, it's probably because they did some things wrong. How many times do you lose a game when the coach comes off and says, that's the best we could do? All right. 888-455-3776. 888-455-ESPN. There's so many avenues to take in this. One thing I did pick up on Delusional, as a coach, you cannot think negatively. You can't just say, hey, let's put Cody Green in, but we don't want to because what if he throws picks? Now, the confidence thing, that's different than hypothetically thinking that he's going to fumble 3 times or throw 2 picks or get hurt. And you put that's a different ballgame. You're thinking hypothetically. You got to think positive. And as Monty pointed out, he says you just can't panic. You can't panic at this point.
I don't know, and
that's what Husker Nation's doing.
Phone calls rolling in, guys. We got Craig from Grand Island on the line.
What's going on, Craig?
You know what? I say we give him a chance. That previous caller just said, you know, he said you go to Iowa State and get beat. You know what? Remember the last time we sent a quarterback freshman that went to Iowa State and got beat? Look what happened then. Tommy Frazier.
T to the Frage. Craig, thanks so much. You're right. I mean, but that's a problem, Husker fan. Don't be comparing Cody Green to Tommy Frazier. And by the way, the game this Saturday is in Lincoln. That would make a big difference. Not starting him on the road, starting him at home.
Got Mark from Phillipsburg on the line here.
Well, Panther!
Let's go to the Kansas. Where do you eat in Phillipsburg, Daddy?
Is there a Chinese restaurant?
Wasn't there something pickle down there? Phillipsburg? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I forget the name of the place.
Where do you eat?
Oh, Shelly Ann's.
All right, Mark, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm pretty delusional like the second to last caller you had. I'm so delusional that I couldn't count how many interceptions Cody Green should have thrown. Daddy was talking before about how many passes were dropped. Texas Tech dropped quite a few. I think they dropped more of Cody Green's passes than the Husker players did.
Well, you know what? Fair enough. You know what? He's going to make some mistakes. There's no doubt about it. I just think the upside is a lot more great than it is with Zach Lee.
Maybe in the future. I don't know about this year.
No, absolutely. I'm going there.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I'd stick with Zach Lee, but that one pass that he threw, I mean, the Texas Tech guy dropped it, and then the Husker player dropped it. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before, but...
Well, Mark, you're going to have to face it. You're wrong and Daddy's right, and that's what it's like on this show every day. Hey, thanks for giving us a call from Phillipsburg.
Thank you.
From Phillipsburg, Kansas, chiming in. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. I know you accuse me of that all the time, too, but at least you're correct. I am always right. He's right, but Cody Green was put in there raw. He's going to just step back and sling it. They had nothing to lose at that point. Again, if you put him with the ones a little more and try and mold him, I guess we'll see what happens.
Rob from Kearney with a question for you guys.
Rob, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's up? Hey, you know, I've been listening to these guys going back and forth with Zach Lee and Cody Green, and the true fact is Cody Green is in the game. Yeah, he threw a lot of passes that could have been picks, but he's throwing when Texas Tech knows that we're throwing every down. They're sitting down in a nickel defense when they got, you know, they're sitting there with seven DBs where Zach Lee couldn't even throw a pass and they were stacking seven guys on the line.
Interesting point. Rob, thanks for the call. Again, don't the whole thing is as Monty said here during the break. Don't panic. I mean, that's we're breaking everything down to the last little detail here. I mean, yeah, that Cody Green was in. They knew we were going to pass. That doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, mean a whole lot to me, I don't think. I mean, yes, and he looked okay out there. He was confident. The fans are behind him, like they are with everybody coming off the bench. They always want to throw the starter under the bus. Let's stay with the phones.
Bill from Kearney.
Bill, what's up?
Oh, not much, guys. Just calling with a couple points I was thinking of over the weekend. I think that, you know, what makes Husker fans great is also what makes us terrible is that we expect perfection every single Saturday, and you know, with a lot of the media stuff that came out over the last few weeks, I think our eyes got a little bigger than our stomachs. I mean, everybody going into the season, realistically, was probably thinking 8-9 wins, and all these national media people are talking about a Heisman for Ndamukong and Fiesta Bowl and all this other stuff. And, you know, today's college football game, more than ever, is about skilled people making plays in their games. And right now, we just don't have those guys. I mean, Helu is probably the biggest game breaker we have. And these defenses are realizing that, especially in conference play. The other thing that, you know, kind of upset me, I guess, from watching the game on TV on Saturday, and you never know how accurate the audio is because obviously the broadcast, you know, they'll boost up whatever they want to there, but the booing of the fans is just ridiculous at this point. You know, I would say probably 80% of the people sitting in those stands wants Pelini to be in position to lead this team. And to be, you know, booing a team in game 4 or 5 of his second year, I think is kind of going too far at this point.
Bill, great points. Thanks for the call. I think a lot of the booing was directed at the officiating, which is not why anybody won or lost that game. It was poor. It was poorly executed. I mean, again, it's not so much the calls. It's when you don't know where to mark the ball. You got to huddle all the time when you don't look like you know what you're doing, which is what they did.
Well, what was the deal with the sound or with the audio? Or what did they say? That was the weirdest explanation I've ever heard.
Well, evidently the buzzer went off, so he's going to stop the play because they thought they wanted to review it, and it malfunctioned, so whatever. Ernie in Wood River, what's going on?
Hey, guys, you can't play 4 years for Caltech University and expect to turn this thing around in 2 years. As far as Cody Green, I want to bring up the name of Mike Grant, very talented freshman quarterback thrown in the mix as a sophomore. But the thing you got to remember here is the coaches better know the mental makeup of that freshman quarterback, and I would think that if he's ready to handle this, that they're going to let him play. But just like I say, we all need to kind of relax a little bit, give these guys some time. Sean Watson, I'm not so sure about it, but let's just relax, give them some time, and let them go from here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ernie. Great call. 888-455-ESPN. Derek, can we take a break?
Sure.
We're
going
to have to take a break. Paul Merkowitz, we need to find out how Daddy did on his picks. We're going to have a lot more Husker talk tomorrow, too. We'll have Bo Pelini's press conference live. Dirk Chatelain, who more than anybody else is on the ass of Nebraska football right now. I mean, he's trying to force
Sean Watson is
yeah, he
not
wants
happy
Watson.
With
he,
Dirk Chatelain.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Dirk tomorrow. We're going to catch up with Monty Kratzenstein if not tomorrow, later on in the week. Maybe when things settle down a little bit, we're gonna try and catch up with Monty, too. And so all that's tomorrow on the show. We need to take a break. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Please turn your head and cough.
Very few things in life are more uncomfortable.
It's Danica Patrick, IndyCar Series driver. Over the years, I've driven a lot of different cars, but two things never change. No one demands more from their car than me, and nothing protects under the hood better than PEEK.
PEEK Long Life Antifreeze is formulated with advanced organic technology to protect any engine of any make, any model, anytime. If you can drive it, PEEK can protect it.
And when I drive it, it better perform.
PEEK Long Life Antifreeze in the blue bottle.
When you PEEK, you win.
Always maintain cooling system to specified vehicle owner's manual, including top off.
Salon Paw's Pain Relief Patch presents the Ow, My Aching Back Patch, the Just One More Time Patch. Salon Paw's gives you the pain-relieving power of a pill in a patch. It's ultra-thin, ultra-flexible. And Salon Paw's is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter topical pain relief patch. It goes right to the site of your pain. It's the Keeping Up with Johnny Patch and the Boy Do I Feel Better Patch. Get the power of a pill in a patch. Also try Salon Paw's Arthritis Pain, available at major drugstores and local pharmacies.
Cold winter days and nights are only a few weeks away. Call Fidelki Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent trained dealer in Kearney today to schedule a preseason furnace check. Fidelki's experienced technicians can spot potential problems before trouble and major expense occurs. See Fidelki Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent trained dealer in Kearney. Industry-leading sales and service for 30 years. Ask about special financing or a cash rebate on a new train system.
We don't cut corners. Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a train.
A place where you can truly be yourself, feel comfortable, and share with loved ones. Isn't it time you come home? Home Real Estate is here to help you find your dream home.
This is Darla Bruna of Home Real Estate in Hastings. Check out all of our new listings at homehastings.com. And if you are a first-time home buyer, don't miss out on the $8,000 tax credit available now.
Call 402-461-6930 or see us online, homehastings.com. Relax, you're at home.
If you've noticed a change in your hearing, then it's time to see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. The unique partnership between our audiologists and physicians allow us to provide unsurpassed care and state-of-the-art hearing health care. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
The 2009 Major League Baseball Playoffs on ESPN Radio.
Deep down the left field line. It's there. It's gone. Hooking. It is a home run.
The Yankees continue to roll as they win their fifth straight postseason game and take a 2-0 lead over the Angels. Now the series shifts to Los Angeles.
Two down. The stretch. 3-2 pitch. He struck it out.
The Yankees Angels pregame at 2:30 this afternoon, followed by the Broncos and Chargers with Monday Night Football tonight on ESPN Radio.
Here's a look at our Monday's forecast. Calling for partly to mostly sunny skies. We'll have east winds developing at around 5 to 15 miles an hour and a warm high temperature near 70 degrees. For tonight, cloud cover moves on in, low near 44 degrees. Currently 59.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The bad news continues for the Doug and Daddy Show. Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em. We finally have a finalist for the Lazy Boy Recliners pair thereof at the end of the season. We have been defeated for the first time this year.
Yeah, Jim from Loomis looking like Texas Tech. You guys looking like Nebraska this weekend. Jim goes 8-2 with his picks. Doug,
he
6-4.
He took Kansas State, by
he
the
did.
Way.
He did take Kansas State. Doug, you went 6-4. Tony eking out even 5-5 there.
How'd you do on your overall picks?
500 straight up, and I gave myself a push for the Fresno State, San Jose State. It was 27 points with 9 seconds left. San Jose scores a late touchdown there. 1-2 in college, 2-1 in the pros. So a 500 weekend. We'll battle there, try and do better for you this weekend, but no good. Oklahoma covers by a point. Wisconsin, Iowa took care of them. UCLA got rolled up by Cal. And then Fresno State was our push in the pros.
Joe and Kearney, are you done?
Well, I was just going to say in the pros, we won the Texans and the Bills, and we lost the Giants against the Saints.
Yeah. Again, when all the numbers point one way, it seems too good to be true. Joe says, I'm sick of people saying, what if Cody Green doesn't play well this season? Well, what if he doesn't play well next year? And for that last caller, Cody Green didn't throw those other interceptions. How many touchdowns did Zach Lee throw? That's right, none. The fact is that Zach Lee doesn't give us any advantage at the quarterback position. So if he doesn't give us an advantage, why not get our future ready? Joe in Kearney. That is a lot of Daddy's choice. Well, it was not a very high offensive octane football game on Saturday in Lincoln. And I'm not talking about the Huskers. I'm talking about Hastings College and Nebraska Wesleyan. But the benefit here is the team that we wanted to win won, Hastings College. And Paul Merkowitz joined us as he does every Monday. Coach, congratulations. That's weird. Last year, 7-3, you're on the short end. This year, you score in the first quarter, up 7-0, but it ends up 7-3, but at least you're on the right end.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better when it's said the way that way, you know, 7-3 with our win. And the nice thing is that in recruiting, kids don't ask you the score of the game. They just want to know what your record is, and so that's a good thing.
Well, the big story here is you went with a kid that was about fourth on your depth chart at quarterback, and neither team reached 200 yards of offense. You had, and your offensive scheme had to manage a football game here.
Yeah, we really did. Justin Berry, who started the game, was our backup quarterback, and he got actually hurt right at the start of the third, so we had our third quarterback was in and finished up the game for us, and we just really put it on our defense, and they were very, very solid all day. We had actually turned over the ball a couple of times and gave Wesleyan a short field, and our boys were able to get off the field pretty quick.
Coach, as you look ahead, what's the health status of your quarterbacks now?
Well, if we had a game right now, Brett Stein, who's our number three quarterback at the beginning of the week, is going to start for us, so we're going to put something together and some of the things that he feels comfortable with and likes to do and get after Dana and try and get a win.
At what point in the ball game do you know that it's going to be a 7-3 or a 14-10, and maybe do you change the way you approach things in the second half?
Well, I think we changed our approach definitely offensively when Justin went down, because we just, you know, Brett, and he'll get plenty of work this week, but Brett had taken no snaps. He's probably taken 15 offensive snaps in the last 5 weeks at quarterback. So we had a guy out there that just, you know, probably wasn't very comfortable, but did a very nice job in getting us into some of our things. And we were able, like I said, we were able to manage it at the end, but our defense was just unbelievable.
Hastings College football coach Paul Merkowitz joins us here as he does every Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show. And despite Wesley not being able to get into the end zone, they sure tried right in the last 2 minutes of the ball game, and you had to come up with an interception in the final 2 minutes just to seal the deal.
Yeah, they were having a little bit of trouble with some quarterback center exchanges, and the quarterback got loose at the end and just threw the ball down to the end zone, and Brinson Steinhauser made a nice interception, and we were able to run out the clock, and that was it. So it was it was really a great effort. Like I said, our defense was dynamite. Our special teams were really, really good.
Coach, anytime your special teams are really good, the field position battle had to be won by you guys.
That's where it was. I mean, and you look at it, it's just, you know, our guy averaged about 42 yards a punt, where theirs was about 36. And so you're gaining about a first down, you know, almost 10 yards per punt, which helps when you're in a game where it's just kind of an up and back like that, and really neither team able to get anything going offensively.
Well, it's kind of hard to believe, but even with a new team in the league here the last couple of years, it appears that Dana is struggling. I mean, this is probably the worst Dana team since Jason Danley played for him. But anyway, Dana is really struggling, and that's who's up next for you.
Well, they are a little, you know, and you know, it's tough because you play a team. You know, I was listening to Coach Morris when he was talking about, you know, playing a team that's struggling a little bit, where they'll do anything, and so that's kind of what you worry about as a coach. You try to prepare for as much as you can, and you know, Dana, shoot, I mean, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, threw it 110 times against us, you know, so you're going to see a lot of different things. You know, they are playing hard, and so you see that as well, and so we're going to have to get ourselves ready, and we told our guys very simple. You know, a lot of people around campus and in the media are talking, you know, well, you know, you got a chance to go 9-2. We're not 9-2, we're 6-2, and we still have games that we have to play, and take it 1 week at a time, and we're going to have some great preparation this week and get ready for Dana.
Coach, is it all unknown for them, or is there a couple playmakers that there are to worry about?
They really spread the ball out quite a bit, but you know, it seems like they're doing something different each week, and so it makes it hard to prepare for.
Well, Coach, we'll keep it short this week, and we'll talk to you after you are 7-2 next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, bud. Paul Merkowitz, the head football coach at Hastings College. Ryan in Kearney says, go with Cody Green and see what happens. Yeah, he threw some potential picks on top of his one pick, but he was trying to move the ball down the field in a bad situation. With good quarterback play, we will be fine. Lee reminds me of Sam Keller. The only difference is Lee holds the ball and Keller threw to the safety outlet. Signed, Marlon Lucky.
I'm 100%. I think that email hits it right on the head. How many times Marlon Lucky have 16 catches for 29 yards? It's the same type of passes. Yeah, the completion percentage, boy, wonderful. And nothing's going down the field. There's no big plays, no opportunity for big plays. I still say Green's got to be the answer, and I don't think there's a choice if he's not. I really don't think you look behind. I think you say, Zach, thanks a lot for trying. You showed what you can do. You're not getting better. See ya. Now go chart plays. Cody, here's the ball. Go see what you can do with it. Best of luck. And I think if you do that, yeah, you're going to take some lumps this year, but down the road, and I'm not talking down the road in 3 years, I'm talking down the road in the next couple years, I think you're going to have a very competent quarterback, feels very comfortable in the system.
Is there any worry that we're throwing away this season in your mind? If we make the change, are we chancing throwing away this season?
Well, I don't see what not making the change. Would you be throwing it away by not making the change?
I don't know. I don't know. I asked you the question. That's where we're at. And surprisingly enough, no Huskers are Big 12 Players of the Week. Rodney Stewart, the tailback of Colorado. We hardly knew you, Daryl Scott, is the co-offensive player of the week. And Hubert Anyeim of Oklahoma State, wide receiver, co-player of the week. Co-defensive players of the week, Earl Thomas of Texas, Brandon Sharp of Texas Tech, a career-high 4 sacks and 7 tackles for Texas Tech, and Brandon Banks at Kansas State. Did you look at what happened? The only normal game was Oklahoma State beat Missouri. Texas looked ugly beating Oklahoma. How did Kansas State do what they did to Texas A&M? Iowa State beats Baylor, and as I said at the beginning of the year, so that everything I've said in my life isn't totally wrong like you think, I said Colorado, Kansas, look out. Big game. What happened? Colorado beat Kansas. And laugh if you want, Colorado played Texas pretty good until they just had 2 turnovers and let Shipley get behind them. They're not great. They're not what I thought they could be. But right now, who's the best team in the North? Who is it? Who is it?
Throw them in a hat, draw them out. That's what you can do right now.
Who is it? How sad is that? Who is it? Because you looked at Kansas State and Iowa State won. Nebraska and Kansas lost. And Missouri's already taken their lumps. They lost. Colorado won. The 3 bottom teams in the North won. The 3 top teams in the North lost. Supposedly.
Who's your quarterback Saturday, Doug? Yeah, make a decision right now. You just say Zach.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. 888-455.
Got Russ from Wood River.
Russ, good morning. Thanks for giving us a buzz.
Yeah, guys, I might be totally ignorant here, but...
Well, then you could co-host the show with me.
My biggest concern is the coaching. You know, personnel stuff is a lot easier to fix, I think, and a lot less heart-wrenching than some of the coaching decisions. Is it just me, but when there's 8-10 minutes left in the game and you're behind like we are, why was there no effort made to get out of bounds when you had the ball? You make a gain, let's get the clock stopped, let's get up to the line of scrimmage. To me, that's kind of coaching.
Russ, I think you're right, and hey, thanks for the call. Daddy touched on that a little bit at the beginning of the game, of the show. Again, if you are coaching a perennial state champion or national champion, then you are starting the coaching curve in preseason farther ahead than if you are coaching a team that has not been there yet. At what point do you start working? I mean, you work on your 2-minute offense, but at what point are you trying to come? I mean, you don't instill that in your kids at Nebraska right now, and they'll work on it. I'm sure they will. But these kids haven't been in that situation, which is unfortunate that they're not far enough along as a winning program to worry about trying to come from behind in a meaningful game.
What changed, though, Doug, when the decision to hire Bo Pelini was because our defense was in shambles? The offense was fine. What has changed?
I want to answer your question about who should start at quarterback, and I'm not going to give you an answer because I don't know. And I've said that throughout the entire show, and I think you have to agree that I've said that throughout the entire show.
You knew last week.
last week's last... Hold on. Hold on.
You went on a rant on Monday just screaming at me for half the show.
Do you want to listen to Coach Pelini?
Hey, last week was last week. You guys wanted to keep talking about last week. I knew what we had coming up in Texas Tech. And I knew the challenge we had, and we didn't meet the challenge. We got our butts kicked.
That's the difference. Last week was last week.
You don't want to take accountability for anything you said last week.
Again, Tony, this, if you let me finish, 16 to 22. No interceptions. No fumbles. Now, I'm not the guru to go in and break down the film like our esteemed coaching staff. I have to think that it's not just Zach Lee. And if you think it's just Zach Lee,
then get
out of here.
No, and I don't think it's just Zach Lee.
Okay. Then let's... I don't have the answer to, is it Zach Lee? Is it the plays that are being called? Is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the injuries to the running back? As we've said, I don't think the quarterback position is our biggest worry right now. Right now, today, I will go ahead and let everybody kick me in the face and say Zach Lee, because I don't know that Cody Green is better. Because if Cody Green was better, wouldn't he have been starting anyway? I don't know. That's what we don't know. That's why we are paying hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to the coaching staff at Memorial Stadium so that they can bust their butt 23 hours a day and try and get this figured out and try and get the talent in. The amazing thing is that the Husker fan who says we don't have enough talent, we haven't got the recruiting classes, we are injured, that realizes all this, then wants to come in on Monday and Sunday and Saturday night after the game and go, oh my God, we're terrible. These guys are idiots. You're a terrible player. You're an idiot. Just think about what you're saying. You, most Husker fans, are knowledgeable enough and realize all these things that we don't have, yet when you don't win the football game, the sky is falling, the world is ending. And that is what is happening again. Again, we're not Ohio State. We're not the Oakland Raiders. I feel a lot better than they do. I hope if we get healthy, I think it changes things a whole lot. Again, tell me, we had a football team that went to Virginia Tech and lost by one, and by them losing to Georgia Tech, that doesn't help either. But Florida's not looking good. The Texas-Oklahoma game was not well played. You go down
Is
the
there
top,
a good football go, team
well,
out there?
As your buddy Lou Holtz says, I wouldn't put anybody number one right now. I got four teams that should be holding four fingers in the air saying we're number four and be darn proud that they are. He says there's no football team right now in the country that deserves to put the one in the air and say we are number one. I want to play one more quote here from Sean Watts. One more from Bo Pelini, because don't ever bring up black shirts again.
Don't worry about the black shirts. Get over it. We didn't play well enough. It had nothing to do with our black shirts or yellow shirts or white shirts or whatever the hell it is. We got our butts kicked. It's not about black shirts. It's about executing on game day when we're out there in red and white. And we didn't do that.
Execution was such a big word. Sean Watson, here's what he said about Cody Green in the post game as I talked to him along with a few other press guys after the game on Saturday about Cody Green.
Cody did some good things. I liked about what Cody did. He really competed, you know, and I thought he made some nice throws. So had some young things that he did, but he doesn't have a lot of things. You know, he does a nice job of with his composure and his poise.
He was asked a lot about Zach, but why Zach? I mean, he's asked Zach, why doesn't Zach take off when he's got the open lane in the passing game and run for those first downs?
Well, you had the run, you take it, yeah. You know, you talk about in the passing aspect?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Something he's got to get better at, and he knows it.
Sean is scratching his head. I'm sure Zach's scratching his head. They're not on the same page. That has to happen. A lot more coming up. We're over. We need to get out of here. I assume, and Daddy assumes that you want to vent, you want to talk Husker football. I think we'll go ahead and talk Husker football, as we did 2-3 years ago in the Callahan regime when it was bad. Again, folks, would you like to go back to that? Okay, I didn't think so. We want to thank Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com for joining us. Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. All the calls, all the emails. We're here tomorrow. Monty Kratzenstein, who I talked to during one of the breaks, don't panic. I think that is the biggest line of the whole show today. Don't panic. Tomorrow, Dirk Chatelain, You don't want to miss it because he's poking the Husker coaching staff with the hot poker in the butt.
As hard as anyone has ever.
He joins us tomorrow. Bo Pelini's press conference live as well tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
I believe the quote he used is Watson's offense as offensive coordinator can go to his closet and not decide what he's going to wear to the Christmas party.
We have got Yankees Angels this afternoon at 2:30, San Diego and Denver Monday Night Football tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with CenterPoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At CenterPoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. CenterPoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Ford Walker Mowers in Minden has been your authorized Walker Mower dealer for over 20 years. Hi, I'm Harold Korb with Ford Walker Mowers. A Walker Mower will give you the fast, easy, beautiful mowing you have always wanted. These premier mowers operate easily in any direction. Zero radius turns and braking are easily done with one-hand fingertip control. Plus, the center discharge tilt-up deck and power dump catcher create an excellent grass handling system. Call me to schedule a demonstration.
Central Nebraska's first choice in sports talk.
And it just really looked like a catch.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation.
It's been unpredictable.
KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. A dismal performance in the 31-10 loss to Texas Tech has knocked Nebraska out of the Associated Press top 25 for the first time this season. The Cornhuskers went into Saturday's game number 15, their highest ranking in 2 years. After falling to 4-2, the Huskers are now behind Notre Dame, Mississippi, and South Florida among the teams on the outside looking into the top 25. Big 12 teams in the rankings this week are number 3 Texas, number 14 Oklahoma State, number 21 Texas Tech, and number 24 Kansas. Alabama edged past defending national champion Florida to take the top spot. Southern Cal is 4th, followed by Cincinnati, Boise State, Iowa, Miami, LSU, and TCU. The 7th-ranked Nebraska volleyball team beat Missouri Saturday night in Columbia. The scores were 25-17, 25-15, 21-25, and 25-13. The Huskers are the first team to win in Columbia this season, snapping Missouri's 8-match home winning streak. Hannah Worth led the way with 17 kills. Nebraska is now 14-4. They're 7-2 in the Big 12 Conference. They'll play host to Iowa State on Wednesday. Hastings College kept their NAIA playoff hopes alive with a 7-3 victory over Nebraska Wesleyan on Saturday. The Broncos got on the board in the first quarter when Justin Berry hit Maurice Mansfield for a 43-yard touchdown pass. That proved to be all the Broncos would need as the defense was able to keep Wesleyan out of the end zone. Linebacker Mackenzie Hemji led the effort with 13 tackles. Brinson Steinhauser sealed the game when he intercepted a Wesleyan pass in the end zone with 1:54 to play. Berry, who was filling in for the injured Troy Hubert, was injured himself in the third quarter. Third-string quarterback Brent Stein was at the helm of the Broncos' offense during the fourth quarter. Hastings is now 6-2. They're 5-2 in the Great Plains Athletic Conference. They'll play host to Dana on Saturday at Lloyd Wilson Field. And Jake Spitzelberger had a hand in 8 touchdowns to lead 16th-ranked Nebraska Kearney to a 65-30 win over Western New Mexico in action on Saturday. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
The perfect manager for this team in this city, because this city is a wide open, wear your feelings on your sleeve kind of town. And the one thing you want in a manager, when everything gets wound up and the pressure's on, you want to look over at somebody that is calm, cool, and collected. And